Well, I've said it before, and I will keep saying it. I am tremendously thankful for Highlands Bible Church, and I'm thankful for the people of Highlands Bible Church, and I'm thankful for all of you. Sunday is my favorite day of the week, far and away. It is my favorite day in the week. That's usually my first task in the morning after the alarm gets up, is to determine what day it is. And that determines whether or not I have to immediately get out of bed, or I can kind of hit the snooze a couple times. Sunday is always like, it's Sunday, and I'm up. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be with you guys. See God growing his church here, both in numbers, but also in gifting. It's an exciting time, as I was praying, to be in the middle of this transition, to be independent, to be on our own, to be growing up, so to speak. But I'd be lying if I stood up here and said I never gave in to worry or fear or anxiety, or a night like last night where just felt it was a good idea to stare at the ceiling from 2:37 a.m. on for whatever reason. And you try and like not think about those things. You know, you have those thoughts where you're like, oh no, we're not going to think about that, right? But then here it comes. There's like a parade right through there, right? There's a lot of sin in fear, worry, and anxiety. And a lot of sin happens in those times in the middle of the night. But there's also healthy concern, right? The reality that any church, not just Highlands, if we lose our focus, all sorts of bad things can happen. I hope it's understood, and I'll keep reminding you every single week, our focus has to be none other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has to be. We have to be united in that. That has to be of first importance. It has to be the center of our church life, and it has to be the center of our individual lives. And I praise God that that seems to be overwhelmingly the case here. The elders and I will be diligent to keep bringing us back to it, as is the true sign of maturity in a believer and maturity and fruitfulness in a church, is their focus and unity in the gospel. And Paul's going to talk about that today. So head over to 1 Corinthians. We are breaking into chapter 3 today. Excited about that. If you're visiting with us, we are preaching through 1 Corinthians. We preach what's called expositionally, which is a fancy word that means that whatever section I'm in, it means that the main topic of what I'm going to say should be the meaning of the text. Now, we're going to learn things from that. We're going to bring application from that. But I'm not going to start with my own thoughts. And I'm going to start with a jumbled mix of 75 scripture verses from everywhere in the Bible, right? We're going to camp in one passage. We're going to see what this passage has to say, because the author did mean something, right? And we are going to submit ourselves to it. Last week we heard from Paul on the wisdom of the gospel of Jesus and how the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the truth of the gospel. Since then, all believers have the Holy Spirit. We are equipped and we are called to proclaim the gospel with our words and our lives. The whole occasion of Paul's letters to the church of Corinth is because he heard that there was a huge gospel inconsistency going on. They aren't as mature as they think they are. That's where Paul starts this week. Look at verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I feed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not ready. Paul is responding again, most commentators think, and I agree, to the church at Corinth saying, look, Paul, give us some meat. Like, give us some hard stuff here. You know, not get Christ crucified, that's cool. Give us some advanced theology. Like, do you know these people around us that are listening to us in Corinth? Like, they sit all day stroking their epic beards, entertaining ideas, deep and profound ideas. Give us some of that. Give us more of that, Paul. And as we'll learn, even that sentiment reveals a fundamental shortfall in maturity as believers. Paul responds, look, guys, I can't even address you as spiritual people because you are behaving like those that are controlled by sin. One translator puts it like this: you are people motivated and moved entirely by human drives. That's what's happening to the church at Corinth. They're being motivated by their human fleshly sin. Now, big note here. He's not questioning their salvation. Okay? And as one commentator wrote, he is forcing them to face up to their true condition. This is what good and godly friends do. right? Good and godly leaders do. Where there's a spiritual inconsistency spotted, we got to talk about it. We got to rectify it. And Paul, as their spiritual father, is saying, look, guys, you're asking me for more advanced teaching. I can't even address you as spiritual people because your lives are being controlled by sin. And the pursuit of wisdom and all these things. And mature believers don't look like that. The spiritual inconsistency, it's actually spiritual immaturity. He calls them infants in Christ. How about that for an email, right? You guys are being babies. You guys are being babies in Christ. Spiritual babies who need to be fed milk, not solid food. I tell new parents that kids are the hardest thing and the best thing that ever happens to them. And if you have kids, you know exactly what that means, right? Nothing is as hard as having kids. But yet nothing is as awesome as having kids, right? It has some of the most biggest challenges and some of the greatest joys that you will ever experience, right? And we have people at Highlands and in Highlands on all different sides of that spectrum, right? We have what, like 47 pregnant moms right now, right? We have those, we have families that are just starting, right? We have teenagers, and then you have people like me, like adults, like they're almost adults, they're kids and adults at the same time. They're trying to be adults, but you know, right? And then we have like grandkids. I look forward to grandkids. I really do. No pressure. I look forward to grandkids. All phases of parenting requires different care, right? And different kinds of food and different kinds of things. You can't plunk a steak off the grill in front of a 3-month-old. It's not going to work. You're not on solid food yet. Paul says this is what the church at Corinth is like, asking for steak when they haven't even figured out milk. And let's be real careful here. The difference between milk and meat, listen to this, is not that there's the gospel, that's milk, and then meat is something other than the gospel. That's not what Paul is saying. It's not that the gospel is milk, and then the meat is something more advanced than the gospel. Because Highlands, there's nothing more advanced than the gospel. We never move past the gospel, ever. And so what does Paul mean by milk and solid food? One writer sums it up as, for Paul, the gospel of Christ crucified is, watch this, both milk and solid food. As milk, it's the good news of salvation. As solid food, it's the understanding that the entire Christian life is predicated on the same reality. Right? It's not a change in diet. It's a change in perspective. In other words, the gospel stays the same. What grows and changes is our understanding and application of that gospel. So I want to say this. Increased maturity in the gospel is an increase in being shaped by the gospel. Increased maturity in the gospel is an increase in being shaped by the gospel. And did you catch that? That's what a mature believer looks like. Someone whose life is increasingly more shaped by the gospel. What is controlling our words, our thoughts, our actions? If you're a mature believer, the gospel should permeate all of that. It should permeate every decision you make. It should permeate every relationship you have. It should permeate every thought. And when we have those other thoughts and those other actions, and when we step out not in line with ourselves, what do? We repent and we bring ourselves back to who we are in Christ. And we say, thank you, Jesus, that is paid for on the cross. But that thought should still keep centering us. And as you grow, it shouldn't be a reaction, right? It should be something that's proactive. It should be something that controls those things before it happens. That's the idea. That's a mature believer. That's someone who's on solid food. That's what he's saying. Or to put it another way, even mature Christians are increasingly controlled by the Spirit and not the flesh. Mature adults exercise self-control. Most of you, right? There are lots of us that struggle in some ways with self-control, right? We should be exercising self-control. Babies have no self-control. Right? What babies want, sometimes they don't know what they want. They're not even potty trained. They cry when they're hungry or tired or who knows why. And they consume milk. They consume liquids, formula. In short, the Corinthian church is acting like a bunch of spiritual babies. That's what Paul says. Still Christians, but acting like babies. And good thing that doesn't happen today, right? Good thing Christians don't ever have an attack of acting like a baby, right? How does Paul know that they're acting like such babies? What is his proof? What evidence is he going to point to? And he gives them an indisputable example in their own lives. Look at verse 3. For, meaning because, meaning here's my proof, you are still of the flesh, meaning you're still sinful. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Paul says, guys, look, you're still following your sinful desires. Here's my evidence. You have jealousy and you have strife among you. And he asks them a rhetorical question. He says, what does that look like? Does that look like a mature believer? If you have jealousy and strife in your congregation? Or does that look like somebody who's a spiritual baby? Somebody who's a spiritual baby. That's what he says. He brings it up as the example, as the evidence. You want more advanced teaching? You're looking at this all wrong here, Corinth. He goes back to what he started with in chapter 1 in verse 10. There's division, there's factions in the church based upon their favorite teacher, based upon wisdom, all that stuff. They give out cliques. They talk about all these things. They're fascinated with who's in town, who's saying what, who baptized who did that. And Paul's saying, guys, now look at what's happening. Not only do you have your little clubs about whose favorite teacher you have, right? Now it's spreading. Now you have jealousy. Now you have strife. Because other people are looking at other things and saying, I want that. I'm jealous of that. I want that. I'm strife. There's conflict happening. It's spreading. Sin always spreads. It always does. And Paul's trying to intervene here. He calls them out for acting like babies. And jealousy and strife are signs of spiritual immaturity. His evidence is based in the presence, again, of divisions. Individuals that are characterized by envy, jealousy, and strife, they're not mature believers. Let me think about that for a minute. How much jealousy and strife might be lodged deep in our own hearts? Paul calls it out. Christians are called to be growing increasingly into the image of Jesus Christ. That's how we become more mature. That's maturity. That's moving on to solid foods, right? What happens on the inside then should be visible on the outside. People should see that. He goes on, Paul goes on in another book, another epistle to the church at Galatia. He goes on talking about what grows on the outside and what that looks like. Jump over to Galatians 5. I'll put the whole thing in your bulletin if you don't want to go there, and it'll be on screen as well. He says, look, there's two different kinds of fruits that we can see. Galatians 5 and 19, he starts listing them. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. There are words. Fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. As I warn you, and I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul telling a church, another church at Galatia, look, these things, these are sin. It's a vice list, right? Scripture's got a couple of these vice lists. These are sin lists, right? And he says it, this is what unbelievers look like, not believers. And we glance over a list like this, right? And where do our eyes naturally go? We go to like the big ones on this list, right? We go to like, well, sexual immorality, okay. I'm probably okay. Sorcery, I have not cast any spells on anyone this week. So, good, okay. Let's see, drunkenness, no, I haven't done that. All of the, we glance over these things, we see the big ones. But nestled in there is what? Envy, jealousy, strife, divisions, amongst all of those same things. Paul says those are characteristics of unbelievers. That's what an unbeliever looks like. Don't act like that. And then he contrasts it famously starting at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. He says, this is what a mature believer is supposed to look like. This is the fruit that you're supposed to be growing on your trees, on your branches. And so we say, what is growing? What is growing on the outside of us? Are we more characterized by the first vice list sometimes? Or are we more characterized by the second list of what fruits of the Spirit should be? It's a one-to-one correlation, church. What you're growing corresponds to how mature you are. You get that? What you're growing, if you're growing the fruits of the Spirit, you are a growing, mature believer. But if we walk by each other, we're all trees and we all have branches and we see these things, these sinful things hanging on our branches, we're spiritual babies. And Paul says that's not the way a believer is supposed to be. Mature believers aren't characterized by strife and jealousy, but instead things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Watch this. In wherever God has you. So many times we're like, well, yeah, okay, great, Mike, but when I get past this thing that's happening to me right now, then I will concentrate on having all those wonderful things that you just talked about. But right now, I'm in the midst of it. I'm running and gunning. I'm in the midst of a trial. And yeah, I have strife and I have jealousy and I have all those other things in my life. And that's the wrong way of thinking. Because God's saying, wherever you are, that is what you're called to be. And part of their issue in Corinth is they're not content. They want more. They want more status. They want more importance. They want more wisdom. They want more notoriety. They want all of these things. And Paul's saying, whoa, slow down. Be content with where you are. Grow spiritual fruit where you are right now. They want more wisdom. They want more gifts that we'll see later on, right? They want more visibility in the church. Paul says, no, where you are. Work on your strife and your jealousy. Work on your maturity. And what we grow has everything to do with our maturity, not only our individual maturity, but our maturity as a church as well. Look at verse 7, back in 1 Corinthians. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not merely being human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Paul keeps going here. He says, guys, wrong focus. You pick your teams, you pick your favorite teachers, and what are they? They're servants. You guys are focusing on these guys, putting them on platforms, and they're mere servants. We're all servants. Servants through you, through whom you believed. Doing the work that God gave them to do. Paul planted the church, right? Apollos watered the church. Probably this means after Paul left, Apollos cultivated it. Apollos continued to teach. Apollos shepherded the people that were there. He cultivated the group. The group. But who gave the growth? God. God gave the growth. Not Paul, not Apollos, God. So I'll say this. God grows his church through faithful servants. God grows his church through faithful servants. And there's a really, really simple, obvious illustration for this. You guys, Highlands Bible Church, we've seen that up close and personal, that God has grown this church through faithful servants. We have some faithful, faithful people. From the time that it was 20 of us praying and dreaming in Len and Doreen's living room, right? To some Sundays now when we can't fit everybody in here. God is growing his church here at Highlands through faithful servants, right? If this is your home, and definitely as members, but also as regular attenders, you need to be serving somewhere. It's the part of the church. It's the role of the church to equip you for ministry. Right? To verify those gifts or else bring out those gifts in you and then plug you into service. Right? And there's so many people that faithfully serve. But we help you understand your gifting. We verify your gifting. Because sometimes people are like, I'm gifted in this. And you're like, maybe not. Right? But that's what the church is about. Because we're here. We give you an opportunity to serve. If you're a regular attender, again, please plan on becoming a member. Classes are going to start up in February after the dust settles from our transition, right? Jump in, serve, be faithful, be visible, like you guys are already doing. You know what a sign of immaturity is? Jockeying for position. Visibility. insistence on using your gifts in a certain way. This is how I'm gifted. You're going to use me here. And that's not being a faithful servant. And what does the text say? Paul and Apollos were both assigned their roles by God, and they did them humbly. We don't have apostles anymore, right? And today it's the elders of the church that verify the calling, that verify the gifting, cultivates that, gives you an opportunity to serve, gives you a chance to use them as faithful, humble servants. And God could certainly grow and build his church without us, but he doesn't. And we stop and think about that. And he say that he involves us in the work of the church. And that is awesome to think about. That God could have done the gospel a different way, but he didn't. He said, church, I'm going to equip you with people, and I'm going to equip you with my word and my spirit, and you guys are going to go. And you guys are going to make and mature disciples of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to equip you to do that. And God certainly could have done it a different way, but he didn't. And the church, as we can see, is a living and breathing organism. It grows and it shrinks. We have enjoyed growth, almost unprecedented growth. Hope you guys can appreciate that, right? Normally a church plant doesn't go this well. I got plenty of friends in church planting that they're still grinding it out with 20 people, 40 people, still meeting in a school, still looking for faithful servants. They've got 40 people and they all work like 9-10 hours on a Sunday, right? Normally it doesn't go this well. So me and the elders pinch ourselves on a regular basis and just say, we have no idea how that happened, but that's really awesome, okay? It's not us. It is not us. It's certainly not me. God be praised. God gave the growth. And we thank God for that. Not any servants in particular, not our elders, not our ministry leaders, right? God is the one who ultimately caused Highlands to grow, and he will hopefully continue to as we are faithful to his mission. Paul is rebuking the Corinthian church for getting this backwards, right? He says, get your eyes off of men. Get rid of your Apollos tattoos, right? And your Paul t-shirts, right? Throw them out. You're looking at men. You're supposed to be looking at God. Why? God saves. God's the gospel. We're reconciled to God. So stop looking at men. Look at God. This should encourage us on our work, and we can therefore be content to serve wherever the church needs us for the glory of God, knowing that God will grow his church. It should take a lot of the pressure off, because then we can serve wherever we want with a cheerful heart, wherever is needed. And it's not up to us. God gives the growth, and we rejoice in that, and we're encouraged in that. Ours is to be faithful. And that's not saying we're not diligent, because there are people who put in hours and hours and hours, especially when we're in this building, getting into this building, hours and hours. And there's so much thought into what goes into our children's programs and our curriculum, so much thought into how we welcome people, how we assimilate people, and the care groups and all that. I'm not saying that we're just like, oh, well, God's just going to do what God's going to do. No, we work and we're diligent, but God gets the credit. God's the one who gives the growth. And that gets confused in this day and age. You might not be aware of it, but there's an entire industry devoted to the teaching that church growth is up to us. And as a pastor, I get some of those wonderful emails in my inbox just about every day. I did a quick Google search just to prove my point. Here are the first four hits. 7 things that will drive future church growth. 10 growth strategies that cost $0. The 5 most important growth principles. And then this one guy who says, the secret to church growth. Okay. One guy has 7, the other guy has 10. This guy's like, no, I just got it. It's just one thing. That's all you got to worry about. Here's God's growth strategy. God grows his church through faithful servants. That's how he does it. I'm not saying, again, we completely disregard common sense. We engage our brains. We are faithful and diligent. And we have gifted ministry leaders. And we have gifted deacons that will be on the scene shortly as we go independent. And make no mistake, we need you. Like, we need people to serve. We continue to need people to serve. But ours is to be faithful with what God has given us. And God has given us a lot here at Highlands. It's even better than that, because as we are faithful, God rewards us for our work. Look at verse 8. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and God's building. Each person does their own thing, their own part, again, depending on the needs of the church as directed by elders and ministry leaders. And when we do, we're each going to receive our own wages. This word is also used as reward. Receive our reward for our labors. It's another concept that gets very misunderstood, right? This leads to the whole, well, I work for God. I did things for God. I did my devos today, so God better, I got one in the bank, right? God better bless me. I served in kids ministry 4 weeks in a row. That's got to be something. God owes me, and that's false. It's misguided because our hearts are deceitful and we think that we get to define the blessings. And God doesn't. God's the one that defines the blessings. And overwhelmingly, the Bible has the majority focus on what? Not here and now, but our future blessings. Our future blessings that we will have when Christ returns and permanently sets up his kingdom. Future blessings. Paul, if you glance down, he's going to be talking about that. I don't know if I'm going to hit it next week or not. Talking about the day we'll disclose it, the day of judgment, the day when Christ returns. That's when all of this is going. That's when we're going to be permanently and perfectly rewarded. That's where we're going to say, hey, remember when Highlands was moving in and you cleaned every toilet in this building, right? Be rewarded. God remembers those things. We'll be rewarded in heaven with our eternity in Christ. But that's not why we do it. It's an added blessing. And that's not to say that being faithful now doesn't go without blessings. And God can bless us any way he wants to. And we look back at the fruits of the Spirit in your life. Who wants some of those? Yes. I want those blessings. Bless me with some love, some joy, some peace, some patience, and kindness. I want all of those things. Those are spiritual blessings. God blesses us with those things as we serve. Who has served or who has proclaimed the gospel and then the next minute you realize that I'm just overwhelmed with joy? And you think about that. It's like, because I did what God told me to do. And God is blessing me and God is rewarding me. So there are rewards that are here. Some of those are even material rewards that God is in control of all things anyway. So he does reward us. And God entrusts the mature sometimes with a lot of spiritual mature and material blessings to be used for God's glory. But either way, the gift doesn't point back to us. The gift points back to God. Because, as Paul said, it's all God's. We're God's fellow workers. We're God's field. He owns it. We're God's building. It's all God's. So I'll say this. God will reward the faithful with more of God. That's what we want. We want more of God. We don't want more of ourselves. We press in to get more of God, to experience more of God, to know God more, to have more of God's power in our lives, to have more of that blessing in ours. We press in to get more of God himself. We're all turned around on this, and of course the false teachers don't help. God isn't going to give us more of ourselves. Ourselves got us into this mess. God rewards us with more of him. 1 Peter 3:18, one of my favorite verses that says, God is the gospel. Jesus reconciles us and brings us to God. That's the goal. Piper's got that book, God is the Gospel. I love it. God is the gospel. That's the goal. We get God. Our relationship is broken because of sin. Christ restores that relationship so that we can experience a relationship with our Creator. We get God. And one day, Galatians 5 reminds us that we will inherit God. We will be with God forever. We will experience him in fullness and perfection. God will reward the faithful with more of God. And so it is with the church. As we work, God rewards us with more of his presence, more of his growth. One of the things I love to hear from visitors is when they come in here, they say, I just feel the Spirit. I feel warmth. I feel friendliness. I feel people that care. I love that. And I hear it all the time. So as we try to land this plane, let's bring it back to where Paul started. The immaturity of division, jealousy and strife, and people looking more like sin than Jesus. A dependence on God that we have to grow his church through faithful servants. How the goal is not mere material rewards, it's more of God himself. And how to do all that. How do we put a bow on that? How to do all this? We gotta all think the same. Church of Corinth is not thinking the same. We gotta all think the same. We've got to be united in the right things. Not teachers, please. Not teachers. Saw one quote that I immediately texted to Ryan. It said something like, pastors come and go, but God's ministry remains. Right? Our own ministry is going to go someday. My ministry is going to go, but God's ministry will never end. It's going to continue until he returns. Paul wants the church at Corinth to be healthy and strong, and he's once again telling them and us how to do that. And so I'll say this morning. A church united in the gospel is a mature and fruitful church. A church united in the gospel is a mature and fruitful church. We see the opposite, right? We see Corinth. We see unhealthy church, an immature church, an unfruitful church. Why? Because they're divided. They're in their little speaker clubs, their teacher clubs. They have jealousy and they have strife. They're spiritual babies. And so we flip this and we say, what is Paul saying to us? The correction to them we learn and apply to us. And we need to stay away from what is entangling Corinth. Right? We need to realize that it's God's church, that it's God's purposes, that it's his glory, and that he grows the church, but he does it through faithful servants like us. And Highlands, we've come. This is why. This is why, church, we are where we are. This is why I have my church planner friends shaking their heads. How? You have a building? How? You have how many people? God. It's God. And I pray that it continues. But I really believe it's because we're united in the gospel. That's what we have to be. That's what Corinth is not. We continue onward to maturity. We grow up into Christ, who, by the way, is the head of our church. Elders report to Christ. Let's be a people who are increasingly mature, not spiritual babies. Let's be a people who are increasingly shaped by the gospel in our thoughts, our words, our actions. Let's continue to serve faithfully, or maybe even start serving faithfully, and watch God grow his church. Let's work and press on together as people who will be rewarded, not necessarily with material blessings. We think of more of God in this life and eternity. And let's be united, church, in what is of first importance, the gospel. And be mature and fruitful for God's glory. Let's pray that we can grow in this. Let's pray that we pray against jealousy and strife and envy. Pray against division and all of those things. Let's pray that as God calls us to maturity, that we listen and we conform to the gospel. Let's pray and encourage our faithful servants, some of them right now, serving, watching our kids. Let's pray for more workers, and let's pray that God gives the growth for God's glory. Father, we thank you so much for the blessing that you have given us here, the tremendous privilege that it is to serve you. Help us, Lord, to be diligent, to be faithful, to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us, God. We pray against what Paul is correcting in Corinth. We pray against jealousy and division and envy and factions and pride and all of that. Lord, forgive us when we take credit for your work in the church or in our individual lives. Help us to remember that we are only servants. We're mere servants that you have called to each our own place, serving in the local church for your glory. And we are so thankful that it's not up to us. We are thankful that you give the growth. And God, we thank you for the growth that we've seen at Highlands, and we pray for more. We pray that you will give us more, but we pray that we are faithful servants, Lord, that we'll be able to handle the maturity of focusing on the gospel above all else. Keep us, Lord. Protect us from the evil one. Protect us from his influence and division amongst people. Be glorified in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.